Welcome to the podcast. My name is Danny Cola. If this is your first time listening, make sure to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so that you can join me in having some epic conversations that access higher levels of potential with creatives and professionals from all around the globe. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Today's guest is Junior Laoso. He is the co-owner of Landmine University Training Systems. He's also one of the owners of Pacific Beach Training out in San Diego, California. He's an amazing guy. He's been somebody that I seek out advice from when it comes to learning about how to run a gym, how to coach, different types of modalities, etc. In this podcast, Junior and I talk a little bit about hustling for something that you believe in versus feeling whole and taking time to kind of reflect and sit back and be okay with the work you're putting into the world. But at the same time, sharpen yourself. It's a interesting balance people are trying to search for, but not very often people have a good reputation of maintaining. So in this conversation, we talk a little bit about having a dream and hustling, but at the same time, learning to relax and enjoy the process. It's a wonderful conversation. You can check out Junior on Instagram at junior.laoso, and you can check out Landmine University Training Systems at LandmineU on Instagram. Check out landmineuniversity.com for the next up and coming event that they're hosting. So without further ado, here's the podcast with Junior Laoso.
All right, my man, Junior Laoso out in Maui. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning, brother. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. I'm in the middle of my workday, already cranked out 4 training sessions. I got one more this evening and I'm on solo dad duty tonight. This is my first night without my wife in the house. She's actually traveling for work for a night, so I am solo. So pray for me.
get the pizza and the Rocky movies ready. Let's go.
Yeah, right, for sure. But thank you for your time today. I'm super jacked up to talk to you.
My pleasure. You know, man,
we've connected in novel-like cities all over the world: Maui, and then Austin, and then Bieste. And we've had wonderful conversations and connected. So I'm always really stoked to talk to you. You're somebody that's within this community that I go for advice. And the topic of hustle versus wholeness pops up into my head. And I think of you because you built up this gym empire, Pacific Beach Training, a pivotal part in Landmine University. But you also figured out a way to move to Maui and live there while orchestrating all these things. So I think hustle, you're getting after it. You're somebody who's a businessman. You're somebody who's savvy in that regard, but you're also somebody who pays attention to what their heart is saying when it comes to how do I spend my time with my child and be around more, as opposed to always being in the ups and downs of the business world. So that's basically my premise. And that's basically what I want to talk to you about and let the conversation kind of roll where it goes.
Right on, man.
So I guess let's start out by talking about the travel from Maui to Italy. And we last saw each other there. What were your thoughts about the whole Human Fit project, the whole week? How did it go for you? What were you expecting? And how did it end up being for you?
It was a life-changing getaway. Bro, this is, I was going there. My expectations were to do a fitness retreat seminar like we do and meet people and train and share the program that we teach. And it was so much more. I fell in love with that country. You know, fell in love with the people. I fell in love with the lifestyle. I fell in love with the insides and the friendships that we made through Maurizio, which was just a blessing. Because, you know, the more I think and reflect on places I've been, it's almost unfair for us to say to other people, man, you got to go there, because they don't have the friends in the destinations that we go to. And so it's almost unrelatable for people to say, oh yeah, man, I've been to Italy. It wasn't like that. For us, we go there and it's like we live there, right? We have friends, we have connections. We know the owners of the restaurant and the cantinas and with the gym owners. And it's like, man, we're just embedded immediately. And so Italy for me was a life-changing trip. That place was gorgeous. And I will go there every year for the rest of my days.
Was that your first time in Italy?
That was my first time. That was my first time in Europe. So, oh, wow. You know, yeah. So the longest flights I've been on are to Samoa, and now Europe is like it's on the map, and I'll be going back for sure. So
yeah, you know. I remember hearing from you and Carrie and all the people that you were traveling from Maui, and then you had all these extensive stops, and it took you like 24 hours to get there. But when you finally got there, man, the energy was felt.
It was well worth it. I actually had a delayed flight, so you know. I went from Maui to Seattle to visit some friends, and I spent the night there, which was great, and then flew from Seattle to Frankfurt. Unfortunately, that flight was slightly delayed, so that my flight from Frankfurt to Rome was delayed by an hour, which wouldn't in any other situation be horrible, except my flight got in, at 1 a.m. or 12:30 a.m., and the car rental place closed. So I couldn't get a car, so I had to spend the night in Rome versus getting my car and driving to Vieste. So I was pushed back a night and a half. So, but it was all well worth it once we got there.
Yeah, wow, that's a long travel. What did you think about the food in Italy?
Dude, not what I expected. And I'm going to say now that I look back, it was better. You know, I was imagining the fact that we're going to be eating pizza every day and pepperoni pizza every day. I didn't know that I'd have a gelato every day. I didn't know that, that there's no real lunch spots, right? The very first day or two, whatever day we had that lunch break, we all went down to the beach and tried to grab lunch. And it was like, no, you know, we really do the siesta thing. It's a real thing. You need to go home and make some food. So the food was amazing. We got, again, I think it's unfair for us to compare it to other people's trips because we got spoiled, right? We had home cooked meals. We were eating at people's homes in their yards. And it was like, next level.
Well, I'll tell you, that's the only way I know when I go to Italy, because it's like ever since I've been going there, since I was a kid, I go to my grandma's house, I go to my aunt's and uncle's house, and I'm always getting the treatment. I'm always getting home cooked meals. I'm always learning about like some of the innuendos that people have in the areas, like the way they talk to each other, the different streets and the different like locations to go and hang out, what's hot, what's not, where's the best food, where's the best this, where's the best that. So like, it was another trip for me where it was like, okay, it's exactly what I was expecting times 10 when it comes to adding unconventional training, adding the fact that I'm hanging out with a bunch of people that are within the same field. And then, yeah, it was just that much better and a life-changing trip. Event for me at the same time. And I look forward to the next few that are coming up. But what's interesting about Italy is that the culture is a little bit more laid back. In the West, we're not typically like that. We don't go home for a sleep or eating or anything like that. We just kind of crank out our work day and we do it again, day in and day out, even on Saturday and Sunday. And over there, that shit doesn't exist. You know, they slow down. They don't work on the weekends. They like their naps and all that stuff. And that's great. But somewhere in the West, we don't have that type of mentality. Sure. We grew up working in gyms and getting right into making sales. And then when you have your own business, it's all about making sales. It's all about making sure the customers are happy and delivering a high-end product. So now that you're in Maui, talk to me about your stress levels from the time you were on the go, building up that that gym that you've had, and like what it's like now and how you're able to kind of manage that still.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of give and takes. I'll preface it with that. Where you put your energy, things get really good, and where you don't, things fail to do so as much.
Yes.
So there is a give and a take, and I tell you, Italy couldn't have come at a better time for me in my personal life. The reinforcement of how they live their life there was exactly what I needed to see in action. I needed to see that the way I view my life was working for real, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than just something I speak about and something that I hope I chose the right path on, it was good to see it in action. For example, I don't drink coffee. I don't take a shot of espresso. And I surely couldn't imagine a day where I would do those two things at the same time and then be able to fall asleep 4 hours later for 2 hours in the middle of the day. That just doesn't even seem plausible, right? And so when you go there, you realize that the espresso is not keeping you up. It's the stress. It's not the wine. It's not the wine and the cigarettes that kills us early. It's the stress. It's not the business that's burying us. It's the stress, right? And Italy was a culmination of seeing those things in action where you go, yeah, see, I told you so. This is the key of how people have found out a way to live, and they've put their priorities first, and their priorities are their time, their life, their family, and then everything else supports that. Unfortunately, you're correct in saying that we kind of do things backwards here. We put the business or the finances up front, and then everything needs to support that. Everybody needs to be on board to support this mission, or we just don't have time for you or it or them, right? And yeah. So I am no exception. I climbed that same ladder. I paved that same road. You know, if I could go back in time, I'd do things different, but I didn't. But at my age now, at 42 years old, the realization for me really made a lot of sense once my son was born. And I think the fact that we're having this conversation is proof that it's happening for you as well. There Yes. becomes a shift in the way we see time. It becomes more real. So Mm-hmm. For me, it was an opportunity to say, okay, how do I maximize this opportunity with him? You know, it's definitely not making the same money at the gym or the same money with the entrepreneurial businesses. It's definitely not the same time commitment and the accolades that come there. That all takes a drop in all avenues so that my life with my kid could take a rise, right? And so yeah. If we're always filling this time bubble, if we're committing 20 hours of our day or 16 hours of our day somewhere, they all 16 hours are allocated. It just depends on where we're going to put that time and energy. And there are some fallbacks. When it comes to that, I think it's hard for a lot of people to swallow that pill to think, well, how could I financially take a step back? That makes zero sense. Yeah. You know? And I think that once you cross the bridge into understanding what it is we're really shooting for, it almost seems asinine to think the other way. When we were there in Italy, this reoccurring thing kept happening where we talk about finances in a way that we talk about it in the West. We're sitting at this cantina and almost organically, me and a couple of guys are grabbing lunch would say, man, you know, if they had two more servers, they could kill it here. If they had a few taps more, they would kill it here. And I found myself saying this a lot. I think, man, I'm so behind. You know, these guys are like, they are killing it. You know, they in fact are killing it. You know, I don't know if you know the fisherman on the dock story, or do you know that analogy? Do you know that story?
No, I'll give it here.
I'll give you the brief version. There's a fisherman on the dock and he's fishing out there, and on vacation, very well-to-do man sees him there. Says, hey, what are you doing? Says, I'm just fishing. You know, I sell the fish to the market. The guy says, hey, if you get 5 fishing poles, you could triple your money. And then you could even buy a boat and you could get even more fish and make even more money. And then you could hire people to do this for you. And then you could do whatever you want. And the guy says, you mean like sit here and enjoy my fishing? And it just yeah. becomes this real circle that we understand, what is it that we're chasing? And could we just go to the end? And so when we were there, that reality kept setting in. Like, no, we're not trying to hire more people. Matter of fact, we're trying to close. we're gonna go home, you know? So yeah. It was beautiful in all those ways.
Yeah, I love that story too, because it, you know, it's like, well, let's do all this, let's kill it so that we can go back to what we were doing in the first place, right? At a lower scale. And that is a very interesting way of thinking about things. At the same time though, now that my son is born, I feel more inclined than ever to be connected to my mission to show him that, you know, you want to live a life of authenticity and towards something that you truly believe in from your heart. And I want to show them that, and I want to continue to build my business and build the brand and you know, really just be a service to people in a time where we really need this, where we really need to Fair. Teach people, you know, how to exercise, how to make it more feasible to do so, you know, even if it is 20 minutes, 30 minutes here with simple tools like we've been doing. So I want to keep going, and I want to keep going hard, but at the same time, like I love the fact that I can pull back end my day whenever the hell I want to, so that I can spend time with my kids, spend time with my wife, and put as much time and energy into the relationships with my family as I do with the relationships with my gym. And, you know, it's just this dance that we're going to have to keep playing, I guess, right? All the more power and all the more reason to why we exercise, why we do all the, you know, restorative work that we do to keep our mind and our body sharp for that juggling act. Isn't it that? Yeah. It's a juggling act.
And it is in the beginning. It is in the beginning. There's a difference between what we do when we juggle and a professional juggler. Professional jugglers putting on the show, right? They control the situation. We're catching things as they fall. Jugglers are putting things in the air. And so when we start to realize what it becomes important and prioritize something, the juggling can go aside. We can come up with a game plan that fits both of these needs. And for our sake, we're so lucky that we're in this industry, because we're one of the only professions at this time in the world that we could build a financially secure lifestyle as well as control our time. So, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s, when I started, that wasn't the case, right? Personal trainers and coaches were something that people did on the side while they were getting their degree, right? It's something that you made $7 an hour and you do this thing for an hour and blah, blah, blah. Now we're in such high demand from the strength coaching world that trickles down. You know, strength coaches in the Division I football programs are some of the highest paid people in the states that they reside in. And thankfully, because that information trickles down to us into the gyms. So we do have the opportunity to work from 6 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday, you know, and be able to spend time with our kids as they grow and be there for the games and never miss practices. This within itself is a blessing. And there's no doubt in my mind that we could have both. Where the magic happens is mentally compartmentalizing what things are and are not important, so that we're not constantly sitting in bed at 11 p.m. going, man, I got to get that client's thing and I got to do this and I got to reply to that email, because that nonsense becomes what burns us out. And so having, you know, regressing from that and becoming better at your business will set all those things to rest.
Yeah. Super interesting. Now, a lot of, in my head, like, I think about a lot of things when you say things like that. Like going back to like the strength coaches in the football world, like they're highly paid, but like that job is super demanding. Like they're on the go from like 7 to 7 p.m. at night and then bullshit after that. And it's nonstop, and it doubles down during the football season. And then they get maybe a little bit of a break. And then, you know, the off season is just as intense from a coach's standpoint as it is from, you know, player standpoint in season. But then, you know, guys like us who are trainers, but then we have like the gym aspect, the managerial aspect of it, not just building my own personal clientele, but being there for everybody that resides in the gym and being somebody that could, you know, just allow the people to develop another level of success, whatever that looks like to them. And for me right now, that's taking a ton of energy to like shift out of it, mentally prep myself for taking time away from training if I have to, and put time and energy into developing somebody else's business. How much or how long did that take you to develop that type of mindset? Was it always there when you were transitioning from trainer to business owner? So talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that became a necessity. So, you know, in the very beginning, if we go through the evolution of the gym business side, you know, at once upon a time, everybody became a trainer. And training was a fun job and a good way to learn about the body and anatomy and all those fun things. But if you wanted to make money, you went over to sales. So then we all migrated to sales. Then you became sales managers, directors, GMs, et cetera. And that was my train as well. Now the evolution came back to personal training because it became a highly touted position that really could make a difference. When the group training thing happened and then more personal training things became a need, that's when I transitioned from, okay, I'm just a personal trainer in my studio, to I need to duplicate myself and we need to offer more products, the other product being group classes. So that process was not an easy one by any means, because duplicating yourself is by far the hardest thing to ever do in a business. Nobody's going to love your business the way you do. Therefore, nobody's going to do the things you do. If you can find somebody to do some of the things you do well, and they can take that off your plate, you're already winning. if you can groom that person to then take on one or two other responsibilities while building their business, man, you've got a dream partner, which is what I've been lucky enough to have in San Diego. I have a couple of really smart, intelligent coaches there that know their stuff and they're highly motivated. And I think that comes from you. That comes from Danny being a good mentor and a good friend first, and then building a business, which is actually backwards of what we would do in a traditional business corporate sense. There's an old rule of thumb that's like one of the 10 commandments of bad businessing, which is being a buddy and not a boss, right? Because that could be the downfall of your business. In our industry, we need to be more so of a mentor and a buddy first, because being a personal trainer is hard. Building a business is very difficult. Instagram is full. I mean, and you know this, full of ripped, good-looking, highly intelligent people that have zero personal training businesses.
And it's why crazy to me.
Right? It's why is it crazy that Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson couldn't coach an NBA team to a championship? Some people are very good at doing, and some people, those same people, just can't teach. And unfortunately for them, in this industry, in order to make money, to have something that's viable, you need to be able to give your information in a way that's digestible to the next person. So we need to be able to create clients, right? And so what we see now is we see everybody has access to information. Information is no longer the key to success. Everybody has it. It's how can you take that information, break it down into digestible bites, and give it to somebody to get success, right? So if you can think about this as a way of how I build my business is by duplicating myself in many small ways. It's so doable as long as you just keep in mind, person A is going to give you this much, so I want to get this much. Person B gives you this much. C gives you this much. And that's our expectation. We're not looking for four or five trainers to give us all of this, right? Some people are really good at sales. Some people are just really good at application. And we need both of those people. So if you can prioritize and manage those moving pieces, you can grow a business anywhere with anything. It doesn't really matter what you're selling or servicing.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the process of that and shifting my mindset as much as I can and being open to letting go of some of my default patterns into reprogramming some new patterns for the growth of everybody. And yeah, you're right. It's super hard to replicate what I put into this because, I mean, it's my business. I can't expect anybody to
never
be at that same level. You just said there is really interesting because, like, it's what I'm seeing with some of the renters that I have. It's like some guys are there and really perform month after month, and then some are kind of on the lower end. And, you know, that's just the reality of the beast. It's going to be very difficult to have, you know, 30 people hitting those high numbers every month.
Yeah, and you know, you're a football guy, Danny, so it's easy for me to use these analogies because football to me is the holy grail of all things. Because we're an individual that plays part in a team and we all have a collective job within our own solo job, it is so applicable to everything. So for example, if all these guys are your players, you need all of them. You need the small, fast guy. You need the guy that can throw, catch, run, jump, block. We need them all. But the question is, can you as a coach, a GM, as an owner, build a franchise around it? And the answer, even at the highest levels, some guys just can't. Some guys just don't have that ability to gel a team together.
Yeah. I've always seen myself as a coach, you know, not just a training coach, not somebody that just brings people through workouts, but I've been a coach on the field, coaching soccer players, coaching kickers, and, you know, all that. And I've always felt that I have the intangibles to gel everybody together, to motivate people. It's just something that's been in my DNA since I was a kid. I was in a band from the time I was 13 to 19, the center point of it all, bringing everybody together, utilizing everybody's talents and strengths and making a product. And that, I mean, that was just good for its time and building on itself. So I've seen myself do that throughout my entire life. And now that I'm in this business, the gym business, the fitness arena, so to speak, I'm finding myself doing the same kind of thing that I was doing when I was a kid, just on a professional scale. And I love this process so much. But at the same time, and this is why we're talking, is that it takes so much of your bandwidth that if you're not careful, it can run you into the ground. And since my niche is, you know, nervous system health, really balancing everything out, understanding when you're too much over the edge and that anxiety-ridden point, and also understanding when you're below and you're bored. You know, I'm expanding my gym right now. Okay. It's not because I was bored, right? I was doing enough and everything was great. And 2 years of training in a 1900 square foot gym, I was doing everything great, you know. However, I just love the next challenge. And I feel like we're all programmed to figure out like what is the next little challenge that can get us juiced up for, you know, really seeing what we're made of. You know, it's really important to me. Do you believe that that aspect is really important to long-term health and longevity if it's balanced appropriately?
Absolutely. And you need that other person or that other system to balance you. You know, I'll use my personal life as an example. You know, I can get motivated, highly, highly motivated very fast, right? If I see an opportunity, I'm on it. I'm ready to go. That's led me down very crappy paths that didn't pan out financially, business-wise, or with opportunities. And then I've hit one or two out of the park, but most of them are bad. In my life now, I've got Jared Burton, right? Jared Burton's the general manager there, my partner at PBT. He's my balancing act. He's like, okay, well, let's talk about that. Let's slow that down. Let's break this down. What does that look like? And so in your life, you need something or someone like that, because it is a powerful tool, but we sometimes tend to overlook the details because we see an opportunity as a challenge. All right, I could do that. I'm willing to take that challenge. I'm trying out. I'm going for it. But we don't really digest what it is all the time. What does it look like to remodel? What does that mean for my time, my energy, my opportunities with my family? What does that mean? And so for me, I've been very lucky over the last few years to have him say, hey, that sounds great to me too, but let's talk about it. And it's just that simple phrase that makes you go, oh, shit, okay, yeah. There are a few things that we need to figure out first.
Yeah, for
sure. Shout out to Jim. Also, shout out to you for anybody that's going to be watching this. I learned that he can play the guitar and sing in Italy. That was new for me.
Dude, I was so jacked up to see that somebody busted out a guitar.
I couldn't believe it.
I've been playing guitar.
You picked that up and started strumming. I was like, wait a second, dude. Nobody said that.
I've been playing since I was 12, and I was telling you when, you know, we were making sausage that one night on the terrace there in Maurizio's place, that I've been playing 20 minutes a day ever since my son was born, you know. Wow. And playing in front of him and teaching him, hey, this is music, this is a rhythm, this is, you know, people can do this, and sing, and how healthy it is for the mind and the soul to connect to something like that. I oftentimes look at the nervous system and our time in reality as us creating music. And instead of creating music, we're creating scenarios, and we're creating coherent scenarios that build on itself. And that's what a concerto is. It's all these different instruments and pieces of the puzzle that are coming together to make this amazing song or concert or whatever. I look at life like that. If we're, you know, if we're guitars and we're really in tune, we're going to morph together with the drummer and the bass and the singer that's also at that same level to create an amazing experience, kind of like what Human Fit was. It's the molding of all these people together in a coherent manner to create the event that we created. You know, with anything, there's always kinks that need to be ironed out throughout the times that we do things. And when we start something in general, it's like we never have all the kinks out in the open. And it takes time to experience things and see how things kind of unfold in order for us to kind of step back and refine things up, just like anything. But yeah, dude, like when we were playing guitar that night, I had no idea that was going to happen. And I still think back at that night specifically, that specific day, that I was just like, wow, what an amazing thing, because we're singing all these songs in unison, overlooking the Adriatic, eating good food. And it really was just a magical moment, in my opinion.
That was one of the best days and nights, for sure. No doubt about it. Everybody was at the same time. That moment happened very organically. Yes. And then that just went from there, which was super, that was super cool.
Yeah, awesome. So how did it, like, when it came to like stepping back from your business and moving to Maui, and you said that like you, where your energy goes, things kind of, you know, flow in that regard, and where you don't take your energy, like you take off your energy from your gym, then it kind of comes down a little bit. So how did that make you feel when you weren't hitting, as you know, the numbers that you had previously hit in the past?
Yeah.
Being okay with taking these dips for certain times, but also trusting that it goes back up and you find the rhythm in the certain scenario that you put yourself in your life, and you find ways to come back up and to manage that whole, financially speaking, fiasco up here in your head and emotionally. What's that like?
It's really, I mean, it's not like it doesn't exist. It's how much energy we give it in the negative. So for example, we could get some very salty news and say, man, this quarter the gym took a bath and it's not doing good at all. I could come home and speak only on that. I could bring that up to my wife or talk about it right now. Is at the gym, or you can't, or you could say, okay, that's the issue. How, what do we do to fix this issue? And then still focus on the things that are going well. And I think if there's something that I've had in my life on my side that's been very good for me, is it's very hard for me to dwell on negative things. It's very difficult for me to even sit there and ponder them too much. I just don't work that way. And I don't know, it doesn't really scare me the same way it scares other people. You know, when you come from nothing and you have something, everything seems possible. You know, it doesn't ever, ever makes me feel like, oh my gosh, the world's gonna come to an end. So, and that's an ongoing battle all the time. And having good people there is the first step. Taking a step back for me was all about making sure that I was going to be present and be more present for my son and raise him in a place where I felt was good for him. And so all of those other things became not as important, right? So the job being, okay, this year I've got to try to make six figures through the gym, became less of a goal. It became less important for me to do that and more important for me to do this. Having said that, there is still a bare minimum that needs to happen there. There's still things that need to happen with the business to be financially available for the people that are there. And as you're well aware, the gym has a very big ebb and flow. Some months are phenomenal, and the next 2 months make you think, oh boy, is this the right idea? Should we even be doing this? And so making sure that my priorities were always in place and I never forgot the priority keeps things in perspective. Never swaying from the game plan. Again, football, if things aren't going well, and in the fourth quarter, you can't just make up a play on the sideline. If you haven't put this in the formation, talked about it, practice it in the game plan, you don't just throw it in on third and 10 because it sounds good. You have to see this thing through. And if it doesn't work this time, let's get to the drawing board. Let's talk about it. So for me, taking that step back was not so much a transition of mindset from, you know, how am I going to do this? And more so about, this is what I need to do. Before I left, setting up some things that were in place to make sure that the business could be good. And I really am thankful for the people that are there. That's truly what it comes down to.
Got it. Yeah, that's really important. But I mean, good people attract good people. And and that, I'm sure, gave you a good amount of just confidence that things were going to be afloat, so to speak.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly right.
Let me ask you this, from an athletic standpoint, or you know, a business standpoint, how much energy do you focus on your competition? And did your competition ever give you doubts that you weren't capable or able to keep this afloat? And I don't necessarily have a problem with focusing too much on my competition, but sometimes it could settle in my head a little too long, and I got to shake that. Did that ever bother you, being in San Diego where there's hundreds of gyms, keeping afloat, making sure that you have new clientele coming in there? Like, did that ever bother you? And what were some ways that you kind of just like look past that?
So there's, you have to do that. You have to keep an eye on your competitors. Again, in my life, I was very blessed to have a mentor who was a client of mine who became a mentor. You know, my joke is that I think he helped me more than I've ever helped him. But he's a man that's wisdom pool is beyond, I couldn't even talk, it would sound fake if I told you. But anyways, he would always tell me, competition is good for business, just like in life. Yeah. The competition will make you better. If they're offering the same product at a cheaper rate, find out how. If they're offering the product at the more expensive rate, find out how. So for us in San Diego, if you weren't aware of the new gym opening up with their discounted promo rate, man, you're going to be gone. And San Diego specifically in California, and then Pacific Beach specifically in San Diego, you know, there's a gym on every corner. There's a studio on every street and two yoga studios and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So competition is good. Where there are a lot of businesses of the same kind, there is opportunity to grow a business there. So if you go to a spot and there's zero gyms, hold tight. Don't be willing to just jump in there. But if I find a place that has 12, 15 gyms, that's where I'm going. Because if gym number two made money and three and four and five and six and seven and eight, man, there's a business there. So the short answer is always keep your finger on the pulse. Shop those guys. Send your trainers there. Hey, I want you to go there. I want you to do the free 7-day pass. I want you to feel what it's like. See what they say. Bring that back. How can we be better? Let's make sure that we're always staying on top of the competition. This is football all over again. Let's watch film. Let's see what they do. How can we adjust? Let's come up with our game plan. And so the more people around you, the better.
Very interesting. Have you ever thought about using some of these people as allies in a sense, collaboration or anything like that?
Oh, man. Sure. Yeah, we've done so much stuff like that, specifically in Pacific Beach. You know, join with other coaches, do pop-ups with other people, do the beach workouts on the weekends like we do, free for the community. We do stuff like that all the time. There is no such thing as us versus them. It's just us to see what they're doing, because we need to be above the curve. So if my competition three blocks away is doing horrible, that could be a sign of things to come if their product is right, right? If we're assuming all things are equal and all of a sudden the two gyms start deflating, something in my community is telling people that gyms aren't necessary. I want to see that guy flourish. I want to see him get his 250 members so that our little gym can have 250 members and the next guy can have 250 members. There's no shortage of people. And don't ever fool yourself if you're a gym owner watching this talk here. There are multiple people out there, many, many people that have multiple memberships. Your price point isn't too high for people, right? It's just not as valuable to some. The price point isn't too low. It's just that your product isn't valuable enough. People will have two, three memberships at $150 a piece. That's a real thing. So never feel like, oh my gosh, if Johnny's over there, he's never coming here. No way. We can get them all. We can all have them all.
I love that. How long did it take you, or where did you find this abundance mindset? Because that's what I'm hearing right now. This is an abundance way of thinking as opposed to scarcity mindset, famine mentality, if you will. A lot of people have scarcity and famine mindset, and it's easy for that to kind of creep in, especially when you might not be eating properly, or you're sleep deprived, or you're not exercising. It's much easier for those thoughts to kind of creep in. So where did that abundance mindset come from?
I'm not too sure. I think that's just embedded in our culture. You know, growing up in Hawaii, that's kind of the mindset for everybody. Everybody's welcome all the time. You know, we don't check the fridge to see what's in there. Just come on in and eat. We'll figure it out. And so I think that's where that would come from in my life. I've never had the opposite. So I've never had to unlearn that. You know, I just feel like there's, you know, so many people in your little town that you walk on your street right now. And let's see if you can say hi to 10 people that you know. The chances are that you can't. That means we haven't even dipped in our own block. If you can walk around your block and not run into 10 people, say, hey, what's up, man? How's the wife and kids? How's the game? Then that means you're not marketing enough yet. You need to step that part up. There's no way you could walk around and go, oh my God, walking through the sidewalk, dodging people on your way to get your coffee, thinking, oh my God, we need to find more members. It's like, brother, you just walk by 40 of them.
Yeah.
So what are we missing?
Yeah, totally. Every time there's a farmer's market that's, you know, up the street from the gym. And well, lately I've been busy on Saturdays every morning. So I wasn't able to go a ton this summer. However, on pockets of time where I'm open, my wife and I would, like, you know, have to take a walk on there. And then she would always joke with me, okay, who are we going to see today? Who are we going to stop and talk to on the way? You know, when I dating her. Yeah, it's great. It's great. And it's it great. Makes sense what you're saying. My mother-in-law would call me the mayor, because every time we would go somewhere, a restaurant or here or there, I'm always like seeing somebody. And that's always been pretty much part of my personality. I know people in a lot of different areas in Chicago, and I'm always saying, hey, and how's it going, and talking about life and shit. And it's makes life fun, man. Like, I think having that scarcity mindset and famine mentality is just, it's not a fun way to live. And it induces this, you know, the stress that we're talking about at the beginning of the podcast that could end up killing you. So,
yeah,
you know, I like what you're saying. It definitely gives me positive vibes and makes me feel more at peace. Would you say that the last couple years in Hawaii, living there, getting back to your roots, has given you a next level feeling of peace and wholeness?
Yeah. And the beginning was tough. The transition of the energy that surrounds you in a place like California, San Diego, where there's so many people and so many things happening. There was a drop off for me for the first couple months to think like, oh my gosh, you know, I got to find a way to do more. But mm-hmm. there is that settling in point where you realize that we're doing more than enough. You know, the small things that we're doing with work versus living here, there are some challenges with the time difference, but nothing that can't be overcome very easily, right? And again, yeah. With, you know, at my other business at Optio, we have such good people there that the things just work out and we find a way to work together and make things like that happen. The peace of mind here is innate. You know, you've been to Maui. Maui is a very special place on this planet. People come here to find themselves. People come here to heal themselves inside. And so that energy permeates everywhere. And being around the Polynesian culture is really all you need. You know, there's a lot of happy people here that are very happy with their lives and not really reaching and grabbing at things that aren't available. And so this mentality and the energy that you're surrounded with is just that all the time, you know?
Yeah. I know that I'm creating that kind of mindset and community here at the gym. And like, I want people to feel like when they step in here, yeah, there's this next level energy feeling here where I'm just feeling that much better. And, you know, it's just a positive vibe all in all. And like you said, that energy kind of permeates through. And there's nothing more that I want than to cultivate that type of energy because, you know, we're all human and I'm on team human, and I want everyone to benefit. I want everyone to feel like their best version of themselves. So talk to me about like your health personally. Do you like get blood work regularly? Do you find that since moving to Maui that, you know, your muscle has gone up, you're dropping weight, you're eating differently, you're sleeping better, your relationships are better? Like, talk to me a little bit about that personally.
You know, it's so funny you brought up the blood work thing. I just got, I might have the bruising still on my arm, but I just did a blood draw last week. So awaiting the results there. So that's something I was doing annually. In San Diego, I was doing it much more often. I had a really good relationship with a sports doc there, Dr. Moore, right there on Garnett Avenue, who's probably a block and a half away. So we used to do it much more consistently. My overall health is probably better mentally here. The baseline levels of things like stress and anxiety are just lower, are just harder to attain here than they are in the hustle and bustle of a busy city like San Diego. And even though it's not a fault to my own or to the people around me, that's just the nature of the beast. You know, everybody's running somewhere to do something and it's always on a go, go, go. Everybody's waiting for the Saturday weekend, right? And that feeling becomes your feeling as well. So I think overall, you just live longer when you're in a place that doesn't do that. My lifting's the same. You know, I still lift 3 days a week, a lot of times in my backyard. My travel opportunities have probably slowed down to just a tad bit since moving here versus being in San Diego where everything's so close and accessible. But overall, I'd have to say, if I was to take a wild guess, I'd say I've gone up in my health for sure being here.
Nice. So like you said, you're spending a lot of time with your kid. What's that look like as he's gotten older and in school? Like, talk to me about like how you've been mentoring him and talking to him, and how have you been introducing him to new things without putting your bias on him?
Sure. Yeah, that's tough, especially with things like football, right? You know, my boys right over here, we're on summer vacation for a couple more weeks. So he's hanging out with me today and every day, essentially. But just allowing him to be him and just allowing him to explore the world as he sees fit now. I think the expectations of life and whether you're going to become an NFL player or a lawyer are very real. And we do those things on accident a lot of times, you know?
Come. Yeah.
You remember Danny? Have you ever met Danny?
I don't think we met. My boy Luca. What's up, Luca? How you doing, buddy?
He's hanging out with us today. And I'd say for the most part, I try to just make sure that it's good for him, you know? I'm coaching his flag football team. Nice. Every part of me as a coach wants to make all the corrections ever, but we just want to make sure that he has fun. And we just want to make sure that that's the real outcome and the real goal. And so exposing him to things like football cards and trading cards and watching him really, bro, indulge in this stuff is so cool. And overall, there's always been a very big goal of mine to be a good father. You know, my personal situation is that I grew up without one. And so there was always a lot of questions I had about, you know, what does that person do? What does that person supply or how do they give things?
Yeah.
And so almost in the absence of one, I developed what I thought would be a really good one. And so I tried to live up to those things. And, you know, at 8 years old, going into third grade, I'm sure those change every year. You know, what we did at 5 and 6 and 7 was a little bit different. I will say as he gets older, he's getting way cooler. You know, it's easy to hang out with him. We talk football, we talk movies, we laugh at jokes, you know, he slips a fart out loud and we both crack up. And, you know, it's much more, you know, as a little baby, I thought, man, this is as good as it'll ever get. And then all of a sudden you get this dude who can hang out with you and it gets even better. And so I'm very thankful and I'm super happy of, you know, the life that he gets to live here and he understands it all. You know, Luca's also a very intelligent dude by himself. He's a very intelligent guy. He travels with me a lot. And so I think it becomes like, I don't know. It's just really interesting to me. I'm glad that I get to do this part.
Yeah, it's really important to, for me, all those same qualities, you know, just to develop that relationship with my boy as he gets older. I'm really excited for those conversations and that time and just joking around, you know? So when it comes to like collective culture, there's like this, you know, there's this thing out there that men aren't adhering to what, you know, masculinity really means. And it's kind of like a downward trend where, you know, people, men in general, are getting kind of reprimanded for being masculine. You know, having like the masculine tendencies, like, you know, pay for the girl, be strong, lead the family, you know, go out there and, you know, essentially hunt for food and do the things that, that men do. Do you feel like there's kind of a collective shift in kids growing up where you see that they're kind of backing down to what it means to be masculine, giving all the toxic masculinity bullshit out there? And like what kind of things that like someone like Andrew Tate represents or something of that stature? Like what are your thoughts about like the collective mindset around men today? And like, where do you think that leads to? Hopefully that's a clear question.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even pretend to even be able to know or think that I know better than another man. I think at this age in my life, at 42 years old, life is hard enough. And I think that the need to be able to fulfill some shoes as a man is probably semi-ridiculous. Whether a guy knows how to hunt a bear or not, I think is absolutely irrelevant in the course of manhood. I don't think
maybe hunting in a sense, like we're talking about, like hustling, going out there, making sure that your family's provided for in a sense, and that responsibility falls on the man.
Gotcha.
You know, and I hope that youngsters don't shy away from that, like that role, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that all comes down to you as a father. And I think what your son is going to see as masculine is what you portray, you know, because you represent the masculinity in his eyes. So the simple answer would be just to continue doing what you're doing. I mean, when it comes to things like anything like this topic, the news, what people are saying in politics, what is happening with masculinity, I am so, I have zero clue what anybody's talking about. But what I will tell you is now that you're a father, the role becomes very clear. What you think about every day is how you view manhood. So, and I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's making sure that you instill the fact that your kid needs to be a hustler and a grinder, or if you want to instill him that, you know, we want to be educational leaders and good people in the community. I don't know what that is, but I think what we portray to our sons is how they view masculinity, and how your dad portrayed himself to you is how you viewed him as a masculine man. I really don't get too caught up in all the other BS about it, because I think there's a lot of good men on both sides of the that spectrum who are doing really good things in life. And so, you know, I have more faults than I'd like to talk about on one podcast. And so there's, So I think there's a lot of room for improvement in all those things. However, I do believe it's important to know that your son views you as a few things. One is a leader for him. Two is a mentor, so that he knows you're always leading him down the right direction. Three, and probably should be first, is trust. Your son needs to know that you will never do him wrong, not in what you say with your words, not in what you do with your body, not in where you lead him or point him in a direction. These things are the way our sons will view other humans in the world. You know, the way my mother raised me is how I viewed other people. It became very clear to me watching her do her job and live her life that, oh yeah, man, there's really, I never heard my mom complain about anything. I never heard her say, woe is me, or that person's bad, or that person's good, you know? And so I just adopted this lifestyle of, oh yeah, this is how we live. And so I think what's most important is we don't adopt other people's views on things like masculinity, and we surely don't put those on our children. If I'm not going to correct my son's way that he tracks down a running back, I'm surely not going to try to implement his ideas of what other people are viewing as good, bad, or indifferent. We have a lot of opportunities in our day-to-day life to fix those things. And this goes back to something that I think maybe you and I talked about before, but fixing our street before we're worrying about what the president does. After our street, fixing our town before we worried about what the president does. Everybody's quick to holler at the top guy. They don't even know their neighbor. They don't have a recycling program on their block yet. You know, it's like, let's start right here.
That's a great point. Like, there is a lot of banter about what the higher ups say and what the higher ups do. And then almost like this conditioning, what they want us to think where masculinity is going.
Oh my gosh. You know? Yeah. Everybody's got a battle to wage. And I'll tell you right now, if the first thing I wanted to do was sell waffles in your neighborhood, I would A, talk about how good waffles are, and B, I would tell you avoid anybody who's telling you anything negative about waffles. And you better beware of that, because those are the type of people that do X, Y, and Z. Before you know it, half the town's going to hate waffles and half the town's going to love them. Before you know it, half the restaurants in town are going to be promoting waffles, and half of them are going, we don't ever sell waffles. Come here with me, you know. You will have a divide instantly. More than just having a cause, beware of people that have a cause and then an anti-cause. We don't need those people. I'm not going to tell you that my gym's the best and you better not ever do Pilates. Don't ever do Pilates. Man, go do Pilates. Do whatever you want. I'm always weary of the people or groups that tell me one way is really good and the opposite of them is really bad.
Yeah.
That's a red flag for me.
There's a lot of that in the fitness community.
Oh my gosh. Endless amounts. I mean, within our very own circle. Right.
Yes.
There's guys who claim, you know, there's guys. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to name names here, but there's guys who claim that their way is superior and actually the only way.
Yeah.
And that's your first indication they're not highly educated on the rest of the way things work. You know, I'm highly involved in the product side of the fitness industry. And I can't tell you how many times I'll get a DM to one of these clients inboxes that talk about how horrible that product is. And they'll list one reason, one downfall. And it's like, well, man, it's very unfortunate that you've taken that stance, because what it tells me is you haven't educated yourself on the rest of the uses of this singular product. So we can do better by creating more value. And that's what happens in things like politics. We can make better educated choices if we had more value, more information. Things like the topic of masculinity, I think are so beyond distracting that it's almost horrifying. The fact that this is a topic that we could talk about that's on the news rather than the other 400 things that should be talking about, right?
Yeah.
But that's my.
No, totally. I mean, I guess there's like this conditioning aspect to make people think that men today aren't as adequate as they once were. It is an interesting topic. And you know, with due to social media and having all kinds of information at your fingertips and this this instant gratification type of thing that kind of kids are growing up with, they're not getting that dopamine release from effort itself. It's quickly induced from something else, which, you know, has this impact on allowing kids to develop their own level of discipline and their ability to develop skills and thus create something that's going to be good for their generation and generations to come, you know? And I don't necessarily worry about it, but as somebody who is trying to impact youth and young men in general, like, I just want to be a good example to them and, you know, talk about some of the things they can do to improve themselves and develop over time and not get sucked into some of the distractions that exist today. Amen. That didn't necessarily exist when you and I were growing up.
Sure. And that's got to be a part of the discussion, because we're all going to get to the age that we say, when I was a kid, it happened to us, and now we're doing it to the next generation. And so in a slightly unfair way, we're just doing what our parents did when we thought it was stupid. When we thought, well, you just don't get us and you just don't know us, is literally what we do to the next generation in all things, fitness, politics, fathering, parenting, whatever the case may be. We say, well, you know, when I was a kid, I would do this. And this is why we were better. And I think the reality is, if we're not evolving in some sort of way, we're failing as parents. If I don't get to give my kid all the things that I thought were really good about childhood, and then also allow him to do what's really good right now, that's how we become better parents. And it's not about, it's not the phone that ruins the kid, right? It's the fact that the parent uses that as a babysitting crutch. That's the problem. If your kid's on a phone and you're sitting right next to him and he's doing a reading lesson or playing a game that's keeping him happy and that it's fun for him for 10 minutes that you're there, it's not the phone's fault. It's when I give my kid the phone and then I disappear for an hour and watch my novellas in the room, that now the phone is an issue, because now that is his source of dopamine. That's his source of entertainment. It was no longer you. And this is where, as far as parenting is concerned, where we really need to figure out what is good and bad and why is it good and bad. The biggest thing that you can do for your kid, Danny, is to be present. Literally, number one. Right? Not the banquets, not the cleats, not whatever else you're going to do, buy or have or give him. It's just being present. So if we know that's the truth, all things should fall under that line. If I give him a cell phone, I should be present. If I sign him up for soccer, I should be present. All those things need to be there, or else I'm just using it as a crutch. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. For sure. Well, this has been great. I don't even know what time it is, but I got to imagine we're crossing the 60-minute point.
No worries, man. This is always fun.
Yeah, dude, you're the freaking man.
You are.
Yeah, dude. So thanks again for your time. We can follow your Instagram on junior.leoso, the entrepreneurship coach. You are part of the team that introduces Landmine University all over the country and all over the world. Yeah. So however we can get maybe set up for a Landmine U in Chicago. Again, I know you guys were just at Union Station. Well, Alex was when we were in Italy. But I would love the next Landmine U to be here at Underground Fitness. Whatever we can do to set that up for 2024 or even the end of this year, you know, my facility is on the tail end of being finished and we have more than enough space to have 30, 40 people in for a workshop. And my goal here, as I step away from just the trainer to more managerial, I want to get more events. I want to get more high level training and different philosophies when it comes to performance and longevity here in the gym. Landmine U is definitely something that I want in here. So whatever we got to do to get that on the schedule for 2024, I'm sure that's probably the best option. What did you say? I'm sure you guys are booked like hell for 2023.
Yep. 2023 is already full. 2024, you're on. You'll be the next Chicago spot. If any other gym owners or coaches are looking to host a course, just go to landmineuniversity.com. And there is a button there on the course page that says, want to host a course. You can click that and submit your information and people can go there. But for you, Danny, you let me know what month is best and we'll make it happen. We'll get you on the schedule.
Yeah, we can do it anytime. I'm pretty open. You know, Saturday, Sunday, just like you guys have done, a 2-day thing, however long you want to do it. Whatever works for you works for me. You know, we're pretty open for 2024 for sure. But yeah, let's get that on the schedule. And yeah, bro, this is great. Thank you so much. You really lighten up, man, the way I think about things. Every time I talk to you, it's always like a very positive vibe that makes me feel more at ease, less on edge. And to balance that hustle versus feeling whole feeling. So thank you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you having me on. I look forward to the next one.
Oh, fuck yeah. Very good.
Right on, Danny.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with somebody that you love. Share it with somebody else in the Human Fit Project world. It was a fantastic conversation with Junior. I always look forward to picking his brain a little bit and see how he thinks about certain aspects of the training world and how to just manage your life in general. So follow Junior on Instagram at junior.leoso. Follow Landmine University if you're already not following them. And check out landmineuniversity.com for the next up-and-coming Landmine workshop. Also, follow Human Fit Project on Instagram and humanfitproject.it, where you can learn a little bit more about the up-and-coming event for Human Fit Project in Vista, Italy, at the end of May 2024, humanfitproject.it. Thank you so much for tuning in today. All love. Enjoy your day.